Okay, welcome everybody back to about the last 55 minutes of the show here. I did mention in the chat room that Judd Witham was going to come back on for the last hour. I don't know if he sent me a message or anything about anyone else, but I guess I can ask him now. Is it just you, Judd, or is it somebody else too?
Yeah, it's going to be me today.
Okay.
Everybody else is afraid.
Yeah. I doubt it. They've been all, some of your friends have been on before, so.
Yep.
What?
We've got a decision to make as a nation, I suppose, would be a good way to say it. We have a decision that we cannot get out of making. We're confronted with history. And, you know, I remember very well many times in the house that I grew up in, my father would wake up the whole house in the middle of the night. He'd be screaming from my mother in his bedroom. And what it was his nightmares of his service in the Second World War. My dad and my mom, I got to give a lot of credit to my mother. My father was a United States Navy carrier pilot in the Pacific. I don't know, a lot of people see those newsreels of the aircraft and the destroyers and the, the mess that the newsreels revealed about what was going on in the Pacific theater of the Second World War. That's what my father did. And I watched it slowly suck the life right out of him until he died at 51 years old. The stress was just, it ate him up. He had a photographic memory. He was a naval intelligence officer, extremely intelligent man. And he could not get the images or the smells or the sounds. He couldn't get the experience.
A lot of men couldn't. It was,
of what happened. He yeah. never did get it out of his head.
Yeah, it was terrible for a lot of men.
Well, you know, he came home and he built a professional career. He was pretty successful at business for a while. When he got back, he told the Masonic mafia to jam it. He wasn't going to be part of the Masons anymore. He'd seen all that he needed to see. And they slowly but surely destroyed him and ruined him. Stole everything he and my mother had ever worked for. 600 acres, his marina business, he had a restaurant there. They stole his home. They stole it all. Which kind of brings me to this point. I've been watching an awful lot of people trying to justify this mess in Palestine. And now they're attacking targets in Jordan and Syria, and which they've been doing for years anyways. And they're attacking targets in Afghanistan and Iraq again. Iraq's been attacked. And it just never seems to stop, does it?
Well,
and one of the most
alarming, sickening,
unacceptable, it's completely unacceptable things that I'm observing is this ice cream cone consuming freak who likes to grope women and children. I guess he likes to sniff kids. Something's wrong with this guy. Shipping billions and billions of dollars in armaments to an insane, murdering Polish Nazi. I refer to him as the nitwit Yahoo from Tel Aviv, the monster of
yeah. I thought you were talking about when you called earlier. I thought you were talking about Zelensky.
Well, there is a lot of the same comparison there too, for a lot of reasons.
I think he's a Polish Jew too.
Well, you know, we've got this vacuum in the region. We've lost our military outpost in Tehran. The Ayatollahs took the hostage. Remember the hostage deal?
Uh-huh.
And during the peanut, I guess the peanut farmer was in power then.
Yes.
Jim the Carter, him and Burt Lance and the Sunshine State Bank, remember?
Uh-huh.
And all the funny money behind the Carter elections and campaigns. But then, you know, all of that geopolitical power that was lost when we no longer had our ally, the Shah, in control of the military in Iran. And then, of course, we've got this Saddam Hussein freak that was Donald Rumsfeld's buddy.
Well, you know,
Donald Rumsfeld's pal, remember?
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan. Yeah, Ronald Reagan, he was our ally when he was waging border war with the Iranians. Do you recall?
Yes, I do.
He was our buddy. Oh, we were giving him weapons and money and everything else he wanted.
Well, he had weapons of mass destruction because we gave them to him.
Well, all that aside, you know, we lost Saddam Hussein. We no longer control. I haven't heard anything out of the Green Zone in years. I mean, the Green Zone, like, where'd they go? But Baghdad, have you heard anything out of Baghdad in the last couple of years?
No, not at all.
Now we lost our pal Osama, you know, the bin Laden, the oil minister's I guess he was the nephew, right? Wasn't he the nephew?
Tim Osman.
Yeah, Tim Osman. The reality of...
Well, bin Laden's over there in Afghanistan. They're big because of their construction company, bin Laden and Associates.
Well, where I'm going with this discussion is very simple. There is a vacuum that's been left by the corporation, you know, the junta, however they say that, of Washington, D.C. Well, they don't have any of their snakes. I don't want to disparage the character of dogs, but they don't have any of their dogs left in the middle. They call it the Middle East, you know, to control the region. So what we have is we have the Greater Israel Project, where this Polish monster, this absolute, can I say excrement? Is it all right to say it? I won't get in trouble with Andy Williams.
No.
I say excrement.
That's an okay word.
This pile of excrement, nitwit the Yahoo. I mean, the guy is he's a monster. And I don't care how you slice it. America is not supposed to be tolerant of people that slaughter women and children. I mean, the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, our so-called gag, you know, this thing called the Constitution that everybody uses for wiping their butt. Nobody follows the Constitution anymore. I mean, that's just what did Bush call it, a piece of paper?
He did. Well, he called it something worse than that, but yes.
Yeah, I recall, but I don't want to get Andy mad.
No, we've all heard the phrase.
I'll leave that job up to you, Steve.
I've said it before, but not those particular words.
I mean, we've got this insane... The guy's nuts. I don't think he's senile. I don't think he's mentally incompetent. I think that's kind of an act to avoid getting prosecuted over those classified documents he took home. I think that whole, you know, I'm mentally incompetent thing, I think that was all to protect himself from prosecution. It was theater, not reality. But back to where I'm going with this thing. You see, this guy Biden, he's a stinking coward. He's a coward.
He's a stooge for the bankers.
You know, he's got those little teeny, what do they call them there? Raisinettes. I mean, his little testicles there are like the size of green pea, little raisins. The guy is worthless. And I don't care how much dental work he's had done, and I don't care, you know, how much makeup they put on him, and I don't care, you know, how much starch they put in his pants so that he doesn't fall down. This guy literally, all he's got for men are those little raisinettes. These people are murdering children and pregnant women and grandmas and grandpas and mommies and daddies and brothers and sisters. I mean, when is it that the United States has become tolerant of monsters? Was it when we were supporting the Shah of Iran? Was it when we were supporting Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it when we were supporting Manuel Noriega?
Well, when it suits American interest, they are friends. But then when it doesn't anymore, they're terrorists.
Which, you know, it kind of brings me to this, what's he called there? Oh, yeah, the kitty cat grabber. You know, the little, I don't want to say pussycat. I don't want Annie to get angry at me. But this,
you just said this
offensive freak, this pervert that goes around grabbing kitty cats, and all of his goofy supporters, because that's what they are. I mean, they're just dumb as rock. If you can't understand the history of Donald Trump, and the fact that, you know, him and the Clintons are big-time buddies.
But you know, Judd, they're all on the same. They're all in the same team. They just act like they're fighting for the cameras.
The reason I'm pointing out the kitty cat grabber is, you know, he's this converted. He converted to Judaism. His daughter and Jared Kushner there, they converted him to become a Jew. Which tells you everything you need to know. You see, you can't be a Jew by DNA. You can't be a Jew by birth. It's a decision to become a member of that religious cult. And that's exactly what it is. It's a cult. Just like Jim Jones had down in Guyana. These people are mental zombies. They've got this cockamamie idea that in all of the history of the intergalactic cosmos, that Abraham can decide by fiat and decree that Abraham's a Jew. I'm a Jew. No, it's like Judson Witham saying, you know, I am the king of the world. It's not a by birth genetic thing. It's not a heritage. It's a decision to be a member of a cult. And when you start reading about what this is really all about, you quickly learn that what Donald Trump did in his Donald Trump loved the Jews. He gives them everything they want. In fact, the people of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, they declared Trump to be the first, and I repeat, this is a quote, the first Jewish president. Look it up. I'm not making this up. It's a fact. It's not supposition. It's not conjecture. It's the reality of it. Now, how it is that you can sit there and try to, with a forked velvet tongue, argue the justification for the murdering of I don't know, thousands and thousands of children? Is that the same kind of argument that we have in the United States about wastebasket babies? Is this the same kind of moral judgment that we adopt to justify the murder of how many unborn? How many of the unborn have been murdered because they were just inconvenient?
Well, roughly in the last 52 years, like, or 51 years, whatever, it's been like 60 million, I think.
So, let me ask you, Steve, how important is anybody when society has no regard for the sanctity of human life? I mean, how important is your family or anybody listening to this discussion? I mean, how important are your children, your grandmas and grandpas? I mean, if they get murdered for some cult reason that somebody, you know, argues that we have a right to kill them all because this sky god that Abraham, you know, claims that God gave Israel, whatever the hell that is, all this real estate. I mean, people need to understand that Earth exists in a limitless cosmos that's been here basically forever. How is it that Abraham all of a sudden is the chosen, and all the rest of the people that decide to join Abraham's club, his cult, all of a sudden they have this God-given right to murder thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Palestinians and steal their land? Who comes? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. It's going on as we speak here, as we listen to this discussion. You can't make it up. I was watching a video the other day of some migrant in London on a train with a 10-inch, you know, butcher knife. It was a hunting knife.
A machete?
One of the big ones.
A machete?
And he's repeatedly stabbing this victim in the back of the train car. And the people on the train car basically don't do a damn thing. They just watch it. I mean, that guy must have got stabbed, I don't know, a dozen times or more. You can hear him groaning and begging for his life, and this guy just stabs him again and again and again. Now, what would that mean to you personally if that had been your mother or your sister or your son?
Yeah.
Now, America, the people of this republic, this nation, you know, the Constitution, if, you know, everybody wants to get constitutional, it guarantees us a Republican form of government. It doesn't say that we're guaranteed a Democratic form of government. It says we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. Partially the reason for me being registered as a Republican in the fundamental sense, that is. But as a country, by God, we got a decision to make here.
Yes, we do. Big one.
I know I was telling you earlier about how important Cancel the Cabal is on the world stage. This address on the bandwidth, you know, on your internet or on your radio or however you're tuning in, the importance of Cancel the Cabal is paramount. This is the cutting edge. The tip of the spear, if you will. We have a decision to make, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, do we continue to allow these insane madmen and crazy out of their freaking trees women called politicians?
Yeah.
to make all of our decisions and order us around like we're in their cult? Or do the, you know, we outnumber them millions to one.
Yeah. Well, you
we
know,
outnumber those people. It's alarming to when you look at it, critically examine it. We're being ordered around by a minute minority. There's only like, what, how many people are in that district of criminals up there and up at your state house and county government? And
500.
You know, I'm not going to pick up, you know, I'm not going to pick too hard on the sheriff's department.
535.
No, I mean
they're worthless. They're worthless. 535 people.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm talking about all the locals and the states and
they're
towns
criminals.
And the villages.
I mean, they're criminals.
I mean, if you added them all up, we outnumber them millions to one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a decision to make. Are we going to rise to our full potential as humans, as people, and say, you know, I don't think that murdering women and children is worth it. I think murdering women and children is wickedness and evil.
Uh-huh.
Luciferian. And this idea that when you ask people about it, and I'm doing it a lot, I get a lot of people that want to fight. They immediately want to get violent because I
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, your signal was getting zapped or something.
Yeah, well, they probably don't like this conversation much.
Probably not.
But this is the clarion call. Are we going to allow this, you know, the guy's got raisins, and he probably got a weenie the size of a macaroni noodle. I mean, I'm insulting him on purpose. I'm demeaning him intentionally because
yeah, I know
that's what he deserves. I saw him, you know, argue with I guess it was an iron worker or something that, you know, he doesn't work for the people. I guess he works for his investors, you know, the people that finance his crime family. But did you see that interview? Uh-oh, did they pull my plug? Yeah, they did. Yeah, I still got you here, but you can't hear me, can you? No, you sure can't.
Are you there? Hello? Good grief. Yeah, I think he got zapped. Yeah. Did you get zapped again?
I guess the Illuminati and the oligarchs are wigging out.
You got zapped again, huh?
Yeah. I tried to call you, and all it did was ring.
Yeah, I know.
But in any event, the people of this republic have to make a decision. And that is, are we going to continue to allow them to just push us around, order us around, you know, pay us with these pieces of paper known as scrip or shin plaster. It's also known as shin plaster, you know, the bills of credit, the fiat, hocus pocus, print it up, keystroke it into existence.
Helicopter
phony
money.
Running it with phony baloney money.
Helicopter money.
Yeah, that too. And that's what they call it too. It's also referred to as, well, it ain't gold or silver or copper. That's for sure. They took all that 20 months after they splattered John Kennedy all over Dallas and Dealey Plaza, you know, and he got a couple of bullets in his head and neck, right? Then they enacted the Coinage Act of 1965, signed into law by Lyndon, Mr. Big Johnson, you know, Lyndon B. Johnson.
Lyndon Baines. Yep.
Yeah, I call him Mr. Big. Have you ever heard some of those secret telephone calls they recorded? The way he's going to get all the brothers to vote Democrat for the next 100 years.
Yeah.
With his Great Society financed. What'd they finance the Great Society with, Steve?
Fiat currency.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not trying to say anything other than this. When are all of our colleagues, all of our brothers and sisters in the broadcasting realm? You know, I've got the Legacy Trust Media, and I love what Annie's doing, and I think Cancel the Cabal is the vanguard. Isn't that hard to wrap your mind around, Steve, without, you know, developing some kind of a fat head, that realizing that what you've created is the vanguard? I know you're broadcasting into Scotland and Ireland and Great Britain, right? Or does Great Britain ban you?
No, I'm over there.
And then that filters and broadcasts to all the European Union, right?
Pretty much.
This program, all over the world. This program is global.
Hey, don't.
And our consortium, we have a consortium of colleagues that are pretty good people. And I don't think there's any of us that support this idea of dropping 2,000-pound bombs into residential neighborhoods. Now, let me be clear. The so-called United States, it was born in a bloodbath. A lot of cannon, a lot of musket fire, bayonets and sabers, clubs, lots of exploding cannonballs. I mean, the thing known as the greatest country in the world was born in a insurrection. It's a pretty good word, right? Insurrection. Did I lose you again?
Nope, I'm here.
Yep,
I'm here.
Oh, you're still there. Okay, well, I just checking. But as a group of broadcasters, we have the power amongst us to say, you know, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Obama, Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, even Bobby Kennedy, even Bobby, we've had enough of your, I almost said bullshit, but I don't want to get Annie mad. What's another good word?
All right. Cut that out now. Cut it out.
When do we stand up and say enough's enough and learn how to, amongst ourselves, be the leaders? Yeah, everybody's seen that movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, right? Yeah. Everybody's seen it. And the great big Indian and the whole bunch of patients, they tell the nursing staff, we're not taking our medication today. We're not taking our medicine today. And they stage an insurrection against the hospital, right?
Uh-huh.
when is it in America that people that are intelligent enough, I mean, you really have to have a functional frontal lobe to, you know, be smart enough to tune in to Cancel the Cabal. It takes a certain pedigree to understand the continuity of society that this broadcast involves. In other words, Steve, you're a leader. You're not a bootlicker. Annie, that goes double for you because you're female. It's time to stand up, folks. This insane, out of his freaking mind, bumbling ice cream pervert needs to be told to sit down and shut up. And that goes double for his Secret Service detail. If his Secret Service people don't like it, get out of my country. Pack your bags and go live over in North Korea where you'll be more comfortable.
Agreed.
There's a lot of recognition given to what they do and them, right? It's always a discussion of they're doing this or, you know, they and them or, you know, it's nonstop. I mean, all I see in the news feed on all the social media is this BS about Donald Trump, Biden, Trump. And it's just, don't people understand that this Make America Great Again, that all started with Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan and George Bush. I mean, this MAGA stuff, this is not Donald Trump's invention. This is him parroting and mimicking the shysters and the clowns and the pirates that before him stole the reins of power in America. And I'm going to give a shout out to a group of people that I believe in wholeheartedly. I've got a lot of friends that are of Turtle Island, the indigenous natives of this continent, that were here long, long, long before the thieving, murdering Europeans showed up in their boats.
Uh-huh.
You see, the thieving, murdering Europeans that showed up in their boats, they've been slaughtering and murdering each other over borders and real estate in Europe for 5,000 years before they finally came across the Atlantic. They were murdering butchers when they landed on the beach.
Pretty much.
And take a guess what it was. It was all about grabbing a bunch of real estate. Isn't that the history of America, you know, fighting against Santa Ana and, you know, the whole thing. Remember the Alamo.
Come on. Everybody knows Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Yeah, he discovered America. Sure he did. And I've got some beachfront property for you down there in, what do they call it there?
Arizona?
The Lake Okeechobee?
Right.
Florida?
Right.
God, that thing is so full of sewage. It's like, holy mackerel. And then I know everybody, they chuckle and they laugh. Because I get really, you know, confrontational about all the sewage that they dump all over the world. It's staggering. And you take a little time and you investigate the mass of dumping of sewage in England. There's millions of witnesses over there. It's right out, and you can't hide it. They dump their sewage every freaking where on a grand, grand, grand scale.
Yep.
And guess who's getting rich?
Uh-huh.
Take one guess who's getting rich. Well, they're
King
saving
Chucky.
Money by dumping all their poop and wee-wee into all the rivers and creeks of England. I mean, it's disgusting. King. It is the most primitive, backwards, what would you call it, just disgusting practice. And it's done on a grand scale in Britain. And, of course, you know, everybody downstream and the animal kingdom and the whales. Why do you think whales are beaching themselves?
Yeah.
They're sick. They're sick. And they don't want to drown. So they beach themselves. So that, because they're weak, they're sick. And then, of course, all the deer and the birds and all the wildlife get infected by King Charlie, Windsor Castle, you know, Balmoral Castle, Buckingham Palace. They get make everything sick, including the human population.
Yep.
And then, of course, what do you got? You got health insurance. You got crematoriums, you know, where people get cremated. And you got, because I don't think there's any room in the cemeteries anymore, so they cremate most everybody in England.
Well, they're
and
just.
And then you got all the healthcare costs, and
they're just chopping. They're chopping people up and putting them in food now, though. So you know that's safe
and
for
they're
us.
They're liquefying them and dumping them in the creeks and the rivers too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And guess who's getting filthy rich?
King Chuckles.
Oh, Wall Street.
Well, that's basically.
Well, I mean, this is going on in the United States too, man, on a grand scale. And there's millions of witnesses all over the country.
Uh-huh.
And there's this one guy and his friends. This one guy's got a network of colleagues that are fighting this stuff. They call him the Poopmeister. It's been exposing this death. It's a death machine. Look what's going on in China.
Yep.
China's got the same. Oh, they love slopping sewage everywhere. Same in Canada. Canada sits on basically a giant piece of granite. A Laurentian shield is what it's called. The Canadian mantle is what it's also known as. You know, Justin Trudeau there, that little commie pansy.
Justin Trudeau?
The commie pansy of Ottawa there. You know the one I'm talking about.
You know what his nickname is, don't you? It's Justin, no. Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau, yeah, there you go. Their perk, their real estate doesn't perk. It doesn't absorb sewage. So they dump it into the rivers and creeks, just exactly like in England, and they dump it in the Great Lakes and in the St. Lawrence River on a grand, oh, my God, scale. Uh-huh. And guess who's getting rich?
Yep.
All the hospitals and the ambulances and the doctors.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just it's wonderful for business. I mean, if you're in the death machine. Yeah, I mean, you're just living high in, on the high in the hog. They also call it living in high cotton. That's a euphemism that I picked up down in Texas.
Uh-huh.
It's the weevils are in the cotton. That's another way they used to say it. The slobs. And if you look at the history of the conquest of Turtle Island, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, with every inch of who I am and my soul. The people of Turtle Island took it right in the bum, as they'd say in London. They took it right in the bum. Because these boat people that came across the Atlantic, they had 5,000 years of war over the European states. There was more bloodshed in real estate, timber, and water, you know, the best pieces of property, and, you know, the place where you build the big castle on the bluff overlooking the river and the big farmland where, you know, you've got your vineyards, and they stole the best of the best for the elites and the oligarchs. It's just America, if you want to call it America. I refer to it as Turtle Island. It's been nothing but a giant real estate scheme and a real estate scam.
Yep.
Just like exactly what's going on in Palestine right now by the colonization.
Uh-huh.
Of the Palestinian people's land by the Rothschilds of, where are they from? Where are the Rothschilds from?
Europe.
Didn't they come from where Fred Trump and Donald Trump's mommy came from?
Bavaria? I don't know.
Yeah, Bavaria. It's right there.
No,
where
they.
The Khazarian.
Yeah,
this is the old stomping grounds of the Khazarian mafia.
They come from the Khazarian Empire.
Khazars. Wonderful people if you like, you know, marauding monsters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And this idea that it's okay to drop apartment buildings on children, bury them in the concrete and crush their skulls. And, you know, I said all of that to say what I'm about to, and it's going to really freak a few people out. But, you know, I'm not condoning it. But what I'm telling you is I really understand why Hamas and Hezbollah are doing the things they're doing. You know, it's kind of like, let's see, Bud McFarlane and Robert Owen, right? Remember Robert Owen?
Uh-huh.
And Fawn Hall. Remember Fawn Hall there? Yeah. And Oliver North and Secord and
yep.
William Casey and,
yep.
You know, the whole Iran-Contra Charlie Wilson's war mafia.
Uh-huh. Whitney Webb is getting into that.
They're black wars. I mean, what you're seeing right now is they're at it again. They're up to their old tricks, backing up Nitwit Yahoo and Tel Aviv and yep. the Mossad.
Yep.
Now, I don't know how many people that are, you know, listening to our discussion here. How many of them, you know, actually identify themselves as decent, you know, moral, good, godly, you know, spiritual, however you want
probably
to
probably the vast majority. Of, yeah, probably the vast majority of people.
So here's my proposition for everybody. There's them and they, and then there's us and we. How about we all stand up? How about we all tell them to go fly a kite and put it where the sun never shines? Yeah, how about we all tell them, not a violent insurrection per se.
Tell them to pound sand.
A Gandhi-type action where we just starve the beast.
Well, Gandhi was it.
That's what we're being run by. That's what we're being run by, a beast.
Yeah.
I've got kind of a distant friend. We're not buddies or anything, but I like the way she puts it. I like the way she delivers it. I like what she's talking about quite a lot. A lady by the name of Diane Sayre. She's running for Kristen Gillibrand's Senate seat in New York.
Uh-huh.
She went and got in the face of Clinton and Obama and Biden at the Radio City Music Hall. She whipped out a banner that said "War Pigs, You All or Are All" or something like that.
Uh huh.
She called them all war pigs. Now that takes some brass. And I post a little bit of her stuff here and there, you know. People be very wise to watch how Diane Sayre carries herself. She's obviously a very intelligent woman. She can't stand Hillary Clinton. I guess that's why I like her.
Uh-huh.
She don't like the Clinton at all, and she don't like Donald Trump at all. And she's even said some things that were pretty blunt about Bobby.
Uh-huh.
Now, to pick on Bobby here a second, because I'm an equal opportunity activist here.
Right.
You notice how Bobby is not talking up and being very vocal about his Uncle Teddy. He didn't talk about Teddy at all. I mean, it's like, come on, Bobby, let's talk about your Uncle Teddy.
Uh-huh.
And all of his escapades with the grabbing the kitty cat. And didn't he have some kind of a automobile accident or something?
Yeah, I think that was like 67 or something.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I know exactly what happened, because to be honest, I don't. But I do remember some video of Teddy, and he was married at the time, from what I gather.
Yep.
He was doing the wild monkey with she used to have a bikini on. I guess she lost her bikini somehow. In a open touring boat out in Chesapeake, or I guess it was off Hyannis.
Hyannisport, yeah.
Yeah, they were out there, you know, doing the wild monkey off of Hyannis.
Martha's Vineyard.
Old Teddy, Uncle Teddy, yeah, Martha's Vineyard. Isn't that where Barry Sorrento?
Satoru.
How do you say that last name?
Satoru.
Satoru?
Satoru, yep.
Yeah, the Malaysian mobster. Malaysia or Filipino? Which is it?
Malaysian.
I know his mommy and, you know, she was all CIA, right?
Well, his grandmother and grandfather was, yes.
They were all buddies with Imelda and Ferdinand Marcos?
Yep.
Now, the people that are listening to us talk here right now, there may only be one or two of them, or there may be a lot more. We have an obligation as voices of morality and decency. This isn't a Republican speaking. This isn't a Democrat speaking. This is kind of more of an independent, maybe even a libertarian voice. When are we going to stand up? When's enough going to be enough?
Probably.
When are we going to organize some leaders?
When it's too late?
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. I grew up in a house where every so often in the middle of the night, my father wake the whole house up screaming. And it was freaky. You know, I mean, it was freaky because I didn't really understand what was going on. I'm sure my brothers and sisters didn't really get it either. But I talked to my dad one time about his war service. He talked to me about his war service for about 90 seconds once. And he told me how terrified he was when he got in his aircraft. Early one morning on a business trip from Lake George, New York, going to Albany with my dad about 4 o'clock in the morning. He always used to stop at this little gas station and get coffee and buy his fuel for his trip. And this one morning that I went with him, I'll never forget it. It's burnt into my memory, just scorched into my mind. My dad spoke to the owner of this little gas station, and he said to him the following. He said, "Show my son here what you do if somebody comes in here tries to rob you." And I mean in a nanosecond. He's got his forearm up underneath my chin into my throat, and this man is pushing me into a drink cooler full of soda pop and beer. He's pushing me into that cooler with his forearm, and out from underneath the cash register, a butcher's cleaver is retrieved, and he's got that butcher's cleaver right at my Adam's apple, right at my throat.
Uh-huh.
He's got my attention now.
How old were you?
He's looking me dead in the eyes. And he said the following to me in his broken Czechoslovakian accent. He said, "Boy," he says, "you fight for your freedom every day.
Yep.
Some son of a bitch will steal it from you."
How old were you?
Never forget what he said that morning.
How old were you?
Never. I don't know, 10. I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
That man did me a big favor. When you have charlatans like the Clintons, you boot them down the road.
Yep.
When you have these charlatans like the Bush crime family, you boot them down the road.
You know, there I caught a meme this morning. it said, the politicians haven't been tarred and feathered in a long time, and it shows.
The Biden mafia, you boot them down the road. And this goofball, two-faced snake, narcissistic lover of self and money, mafia Teflon Donnie, you boot him down the road. You don't buy into his, "Oh, I'm selling Bibles for $60 a piece." Did I get cut off on that one?
Nope, you're still here.
You know, if you really want a Bible, there's a group called the Gideons, and they leave those Bibles in motel rooms so that if you need a Bible, you go get one for free. And here's the joke, ladies and gentlemen. This 60 reserve note, you know, scam of Donnie Trump's, it's all about keeping his fanny out of prison. And it's all about defending himself from, I mean, I hope people understand this guy's a pig. He's a con job. He's a fraud. And he's using all the best lines that he can find to try to be the king of the swamp drainers, right? That guy wouldn't know how to drain a swamp if his life depended on it.
Nope.
And his supporters. You know, I'm going to say something might shock a few people, but I grew up on a very large marsh on 600 acres out of a 3,000-acre swamp on Lake George, New York. My mother and father built the biggest marina on the lake. It's called the Harris Bay Yacht Club today.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place that my mom and dad built. And I have to admit something to the world. My dad said that when you're right, just stick to your guns. That's a fighter pilot teaching his son that you got to stand up straight.
Uh-huh.
You got to plant your feet. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to girdle your loins with truth. And you need to stand up.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen. And I guess we're probably getting close to running out of time.
We got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes maybe.
Us have to come together over all the victims, the civilian victims of all the wars that have ever been fought. The World War One was supposed to be the war to end all wars.
Yes, it was.
World War II was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And tonight we're on the verge of, well, we may already be in World War III.
Well, yeah, wait.
Biden's buddies and Clinton's buddies and the Bush's buddies.
World War III is actually against us. That's what World War III is.
Donald Trump's pals, they're all getting filthy rich off of little kids getting murdered. Do you understand that I have no respect at all for Hillary or Bill Clinton? I have no respect for them at all.
Nope.
And I can't stand their loving buddy, Donald Trump, either.
Nope.
And I voted for him and I campaigned for him. I voted for that man. I campaigned for Donald Trump to keep the Clintons out of the White House. Because they're a dirt as garbage. And Trump turned out to be one of them. So I'm going to get off my soapbox, Steve.
Okay.
It's time for everybody to come together, though. And if you don't know where to meet, I'll tell you where you meet. You meet on the Cancel the Cabal. It's one of the most wonderful discussions on what the world needs that you're going to. Because this idea that it's all over and we're done for and it's too late. You know why my father came home from World War II? Because he fought to the last bullet. That's why.
Yep.
Thank you, Steve. Annie, I love you, Annie. If you can hear me, Annie, you're doing a wonderful job, Annie. And Steve, cancel the cabal. I'm telling you, you are the point of the spear. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks, Judd. And thanks, everyone, for staying out. And, hopefully, we'll see everyone tomorrow with me and Roger.